Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome once again to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host. And as always, it is my privilege to be back amongst my listening audience once again. As we study together, as we reason together, the Word of God. I love the Word. I know you love the Word or you wouldn't be tuning in. So let us go before the throne of grace. Our Father and our God, once again, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come into your presence to study your holy and inspired word. We pray now, Father, that you would touch our hearts and minds, that you would conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we, your church, we, your people, would just move in the direction and the mandate of the mission to go ye therefore and teach all nations, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be with us now, Father, as we open your word. Let your spirit lead, God, and direct our hearts and our minds. We ask this all in Jesus' name for his name's sake. Amen. Well, we are in chapter 2, and we were talking last week about the prophecy of Joel. But let's pick it up again about the 17th chapter, because for some of you that may have not tuned in last week, I want to make sure that you understand the fullness of this prophecy that Peter is quoting from Joel 2:28-32. Verse 17, second chapter, book of Acts. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and the signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord shall come. Now, when we look at the prophecy of Joel, and we talked last week about the ushering in of the last days was the ascension of Christ into heaven, and it will not end until the millennial kingdom. Now, we can understand that the fulfillment of this prophecy has not been totally and completely fulfilled, because it's in verse 19, says, I will show wonders in heaven above and sign in earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. Obviously, not all of Joel's prophecy has been fulfilled in this church age. It is not until the Spirit is poured out upon all mankind in the millennial kingdom. In the millennial kingdom, there will be nobody there other than those who are willfully obeying God. And so for this prophecy to say that some say it's been fulfilled, I can't agree with that, because if it was fully fulfilled, then everyone would be obedient unto the Lord. And it says, the sun shall turn into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. Nor did these wonders in the sky above or the signs in the earth beneath occur at the day of Pentecost. There was no blood, fire, vapor, or smoke. The sun was not turned into darkness, nor the moon into blood. Those events were associated with the coming of the great and the glorious day of the Lord. Matthew, the 24th chapter, in verses 29 through 30, the Lord Jesus Christ described the changes in the sun, the moon, the stars that would accompany his second coming. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Now, that is quite obvious that this fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel could not have been entirely fulfilled, but it is the beginning on the day of Pentecost of the fulfillment. So again, it is obvious the events here spoken of by Peter have not been fully fulfilled yet, all right? And it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, before I belabor this anymore, let me just finish by saying we need to be reminded that the Pentecostal sermon was authoritative because it was scripturally correct. The tremendous use of scripture is clearly instructs us what our sermons should be like. And like I said last week, and I don't want to belabor this point either, but many times we are fulfilling our preaching duties with a lot of philosophies and what ifs and how we ought to, when all we need to do is present the Word of God. And I just believe that with all of my heart. Amen? Amen. I know sometimes it sounds like I'm a little harsh. I've been sometimes even stated that I come from a negative vein, but that's not what I really feel. That's not what I really believe. I believe that the Word of God is designed by God to do what God would have it to do. Amen. Now let's go on to verse 25. It says, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope." So now what we've seen here, Peter begins quoting now from Psalm 16, and particularly from Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. Peter's interpretation of the events in Psalm 16 has caused many a man great headaches, including, and I'm quoting from my instructor when I was in seminary, Dr. Harley Howard. He says, including him. So instead of reactivating another headache, let's keep the matter very simple. Peter's interpretation is the only one that matters at this point. It is obvious when David spoke, knowingly or unknowingly, he wrote of and taught about Jesus of Nazareth. David said of Jesus that God's eyes would be upon his son, which his presence would always be with his son, and because of that, he would not be shaken. All throughout the Gospels, Jesus repeatedly spoke of the complete confidence that he had with his father. That is a direct quote from Dr. Harley Howard. Verse 26 says, "Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope." Verse 27, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption." David could not have spoken of this of his own self, for it was evident that David had not died and had not been buried, and his sealed tomb was at hand, as Peter makes it clear in verse 29. Peter was preaching Christ throughout his sermon, and the central fact to which most of the space is given is his resurrection. Now, we got to understand that the most powerful point of our Christian belief is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Christ had not gotten up out of the grave bodily, because I know there are some believers, I say believers, but there are those who believe that he just got up in a spirit body. And that kind of baffles me. I don't understand what a spirit body is, because if a spirit cannot be seen, how can it have a body? God is spirit and God has no body. But I believe that when he got up in his physical body. And like Peter had said earlier, that the pains of death could not hold him. So therefore, the strength of our testimony, the strength of our belief, is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you remove the resurrection out of Christianity, all we would have is another religious philosophical system that we could just lean on. And there have been those who says that Christianity is nothing but a crutch. But I tell you, it takes more faith to believe that Jesus did not exist and did not raise from the dead. There takes more faith to believe that there is no God than there is to believe that Jesus did get up out of the grave bodily and there is a living God. End of sermon. Verse 28, "Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with my countenance." Again, Peter is using Psalm 16. Verses 8 through 11, he says, "David acknowledged a Lord who would not be abandoned to the corruption of death in Hades." Since David both died and was buried, Peter concludes that he could not have been speaking of himself, but that he must have envisioned some later figure who would escape death, none other than Jesus Christ himself. Verse 29, "And men and brethren, let me speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day." Peter said, "Let me be frank with you guys and my brothers about David. David has died. We have evidence of his tomb. We can visit his tomb." So David could not have been speaking of himself because he is both dead and in his grave. Verse 30, Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. This is the divinic lineage that now David is actually prophesying in this 16th Psalm. These things being so, he being a prophet of God and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon his throne. The truth is expressed many times in the Old Testament. Here's another example would be Psalms 89, verses 1 through 4. And I'll leave that to yourself to read that text. Psalms 89, verses 1 through 4. Verse 31 in Acts chapter 2. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This again is a reference to Psalm 16, verse 10. And we are not left out on our own devices as to the interpretation of it. Because remember, Peter says that scripture is of no private interpretation. Verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Now, in the beginning chapter of the book of Acts, he was seen by over 500 witnesses. Remember now, in the Jewish law, it only took two or three witnesses. Now he is seen by an immense group of people. There is no doubt about that he was physically raised from the dead. Well, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I need to stop right here because by the clock, time is winding up once again. And I hope you're being blessed by the study. And for me, when we go back and we open the word and we look at the church, the birth of the church and what God would have his church to do, I use this book of Acts as my roadmap for what God's will is for his church. Please pray for me as I pray for you. And let's have powerful prayer meetings and our worship services. Tune in again next week as we go further into the word. May the Lord bless and keep you is my prayer. God bless.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. And it's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.